A range of schools now have opened across the country with a focus on child direct learning, offering an alternative approach to mainstream education. So how does a system without a curriculum, principal and exams work? Ciara Breheny from Wicklow Democratic School joins me now on the line to tell me all about her school. Hiya Ciara, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Brenda. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Tell me, where's the school, first of all? Give me the geography and how many people pupils are in it and all of that.
Yeah, we're in Rathnew in County Wicklow, just a few minutes from Wicklow Town, and we currently have 33 students.
Okay.
So we're small. Yeah. We're a small school.
You're small. So I'm trying to get my head around this, okay? Because I'm thinking there's an awful lot of people, you know, dropping and collecting from school at the moment. They're listening. And as soon as they go in the door, they'll say, look, just get your homework done first. So the homework will have to be done, the uniform, you know, and that's their plan for the evening. So how does your school differ? We have no homework, first of all. Give me the philosophy behind it, Ciara.
Yeah, so, and I've been there. I've been that mother harassing her kids when they come in the door to do their homework. Essentially, the philosophy is much more about the children leading what they want to learn. You know, from the time they're born, they're learning to walk and talk, and by observing and by being part of the family, we create the conditions, and then they learn what they need to learn. We're not on a clock saying they should be, you know, doing something by this date, and if they don't, well then we will, you know, give them something to make it happen. So it's a continuation of that, you know, where the children are very much, they know what they want to be doing with their time, they know what they want to learn, they know what they're curious about and interested in, and we're just facilitating that.
So I'm just trying to think, because when I'm thinking primary school, but I know you cover across the range ages, but I'm just thinking like a teacher will go in for the day. And I'm thinking primary school here, but you know, they'll have, but they all do. They have a class plan. So they might start the day with Irish, you know, then do a bit of maths, then they have a break. Then, so how do you cover all these topics? And, you know, if a child might necessarily volunteer the children to study maths or multiplication or whatever.
Yes, you're right. We don't go in with a plan. Each child comes in with their own plan, and every day it's different from the day before. Essentially, we do have a sort of a co-created timetable that we, at the start of each term, we kind of put together classes and who's going to be, who wants to do what. It is, there's no one that does everything on the timetable, and there's some who do some of the things on the timetable, and there's some who do nothing. They're just completely self-directed in their own learning. You'd be surprised, the staple subjects of English, Irish, math, science, they're all there. They're asked for. The kids do want to learn those. Certainly the younger ones, the sort of under 12, it's very play-based. And then as they get older, they start to become more focused on what it is they want to learn. So they do, and you know, there's one way of learning, which is out of a textbook, which suits some students, and it doesn't suit everyone. Some kids want to work their way through a workbook, and they do that. Others, for example, and maths is a good example, they're learning that in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes they're not even aware they are, whether it's, you know, baking or going to the shop, figuring out how much they're going to get for their X amount of money, how much change they'll get. Or, you know, working out for example, we had some young teens making a dirt jump for their bike. So it was amazing maths went into that, calculating how much speed they had to get up to make the jump and all of that. So there's learning that happens in what you might say are invisible ways, but it's just a very organic, intuitive way to learn.
I still am struggling, and you know, and I do think, you know, schools can be hard on children. You know, it's not for everybody, that classroom set up. You know, some children don't thrive. All you want is for your children to thrive, and in whatever forum that is. But particularly if you have like 13, 14 year old.
Yeah.
And you don't have an exam, which is probably great, but you don't have an exam. How do you monitor, or do you need to monitor how far along they are, or what stage they're at, or what area they need to focus more on? How does that work?
Yeah,
you can tell. You can. No, I'm not knocking it. I'm kind of going, this could be great.
No, listen, I have this kind of conversation with people all the time. It's quite a leap. There's the people who come to us because their child needs something different and they've been led there by their child, and it's quite a leap. It takes quite a bit of work themselves in terms of reading and researching. And then there's other people who have been looking for something like this from the time they conceived of having children. So there's different levels of people who their understanding and how much they get this way of doing it. To be honest, it's been done all across the world for like 100 years now, if not more. And we're just paddy laughed here in Ireland. We catch up eventually, but it takes us a while. Our school was the first in 2016, and there's now two more up and running and another 4 or 5 in the works. So there's definitely an appetite for this kind of education for their kids. It is hard to imagine what it looks like.
Yeah.
And I really hear your question there. How do you measure what they're learning? To be honest, the kind of measurement you're talking about is really only relevant within the mainstream system. You know, you want to know, like if I'm a teacher of third or fourth class, I want to know that my students, by the time I'm passing them on to the next year's teacher, that they've got what they need from the curriculum, because we're all part of something bigger and we have to make sure everybody gets everyone over the line. That just doesn't feature in our school unless it's self-imposed by a child. Some kids really like that. They like to set goals for themselves, and it's our job as staff to help them facilitate that.
Okay, so I want to find out how you came to this, but can you talk me through a typical day? Do I arrive in, everybody come in at the same time, or do I say, I'll be in for 10 today, that's what suits me? Sorry, I'm just kind of thinking it could be fantastic.
Well, no. We do have core hours between 10 and 3, but the school is open from 9 to 4, so there is an hour flexible either end for kids. And you have kids who are queuing up at night. When you arrived, open the gates at 9, they're there. And then there's others who really appreciate having that extra hour to come in for 10. And each day is different for each child. It's kind of like, I mean, there is, as I said, a timetable as such, and they can opt in to things. So there's plenty of things happening. And then on top of that, there's stuff that's just organically happening themselves.
Like, I'm just fascinated with the organic thing. Like cooking.
Yeah, cooking. Mm. There's always somebody cooking. We have a kitchen, we have a music room, we have an art room, we have a library, lots of play spaces and outdoor space. So cooking is a good example. There will nearly always be somebody in there, whether it's somebody, the teenagers who don't want to bring in a packed lunch, they want to cook themselves a lunch or a breakfast when they come in. Other times there could be a spontaneous, I feel like baking, so somebody starts baking, or someone is doing an online cookery course and they've got dishes to make across the month or whatever, or a class where we have a weekly class where there's a group of people who come together and they bake or cook together.
Kira, are you the principal, or is there there's no hierarchy?
No.
So there's because you know sometimes you're sent to the principal's office and that's the...
No, that doesn't happen.
No.
No. There isn't a principal. It is democratic. It is run by the students and the staff together. All decisions are made in a twice weekly meeting, and anyone can write a proposal for anything, whether it's to get resources to buy something or to go somewhere on a trip or to, you know, whatever they want. A new rule that doesn't exist but should, or it's open to everyone, and we all have one vote.
Somebody's just tweeted here. They said, kids making their own rules for school. I'm glad I finished wearing my children. Seems you don't say no to your kids now for any reason, for fear of offending them. How would you answer that one, Kira?
Oh, I'm in agreement with that person, in the sense that, you know, it's freedom, not license, which is it's a title of a book by A.S. Neil, who opened Summerhill School 100 years ago. It's still going in the UK. Mm. you would be amazed. Kids are not stupid. They want to be things to be fair. They want things to be safe, the same way that you or I do. In our experience, and there's a huge history and lots of research and studies around these kind of schools. When you trust kids, they live up to that. When they're given a chance, when they to be genuinely listened to and to genuinely have a voice, not just a sort of, oh yeah, you know, this is the student's council, but actually they've no power. They know that.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just thinking. I suppose it's half the job. But I'm just thinking, right? You know, some kid, is it a kind of a let off in a way? You know, I know you meant to come on, Brenda, open up your mind. I'm trying to open up my mind. I'm probably clouded because, you know, I've been through each stage of the education system. I've done the Leaving Cert practically myself. You know, I've sat the junior cert. So, you know, do the children measure up in terms of exams and the Leaving Cert? Do they sit them? Can they go on to third level education? What do you get, or what do you hope to get at the end of their schooling?
So far, all our graduates have gone on to further education, some to third level. All except one so far have gone to do like a PLC course, and then some of, as I said, have gone on to third level from that.
Well, it's not all about third level as well. I mean,
no, exactly, exactly. Mm. So they can sit the Leaving Cert if they want, and so far no one has chosen to do that because they're too busy learning about stuff they actually want to learn about, and there is this other route to third level through the QQI, and that's so far what our graduates have done.
I'm just wondering if people are listening with children, how would they feel about this? Would you text us in 51551 and let us know, would you consider sending your children to a democratic school? Curriculum, principal, exams, not on the table. What do you think? Could it be the best thing ever? Does it depend on the child? Do you consider it a bit much? We'd love to hear what you think. How did you come to this yourself, Ciara?
Yeah, if I could just speak to what you were just saying there first. It is hard in a few minutes on the radio to put across.
I know. And
a parent earlier today described the school as a school of life. There's a whole range of other things that they're having the opportunity to learn that they don't learn in mainstream. And we're not trying to replace mainstream. There's a place for everything. We just want to offer more choice. But you have kids who are learning how to resolve conflict, how to actually love learning. They're learning how to listen to each other. They're learning how to, you know, figure out what they want to do instead of going out into the world after the Leaving Cert and then having to decide what to do their degree in, and then only after that having the time to go, well, actually, what do I want to do? Who am I? They get to do all of that in school. And I've forgotten the question you just asked me there.
Oh, how same I came here. How did you come to it, Ciara?
Yeah, well, I have four children of my own. Now, they're all mostly grown up. Our youngest is the only one still in our school. He's 15. Our 19-year-old just graduated last June at 18. And then our older two went through mainstream school. And to be honest, they all had varying, very different experiences of school, and none of them good. Very different personalities, very different needs, very different experiences, but none of them positive. And I was seeing a lot of my own school experience being played out again. And when I came across these other schools in other countries, I was just blown away. And all I wanted was something like this for my kids, but didn't have the time to wait for someone else to do it. So I just started talking to whoever would talk to me about it, and a group of us found each other and got together, and the rest is history.
Well, it is amazing, and it certainly is literally food for thought, whether you're deciding to do it on the syllabus on the day and going to do cooking. It's amazing, Ciara, and it's called the Wicklow Democratic School. It's not the only one in the country. If people, if we've whet their appetite and they want to find out more, you have an open day. When is it on again?
It's on the 19th of October, which is coming up soon. And we do have open days regularly throughout the year. The next one is on the 19th.
Yeah, it's a lot to kind of, you know, take on, but it might be just what your child needs to thrive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
and
interesting.
And the research is out there. If anyone wants to go and read up on it, it's worldwide. It's not, we're not sort of the only ones doing this. It's not something we've invented.
Yeah, it was, here's Brenda Trill, that there are other options outside the national curriculum and the school system. A lot of conformity with schools as well as just learning things off for the sake of it. Have a 2 and 5 year old who will go to Sudbury School.
Anyway,
there's a lot to think about there, Ciara. You're so good for putting up with some of my questions there.
It's all part of it. You know, we want to spread the word and, you know, help people to understand more what it is we're doing.
And so for all the pupils of Wicklow Democratic School, you've no homework as per normal today. So good luck. Thanks, Ciara, for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks, Brenda.
And that's Ciara from Wicklow Democratic School. We're going to take a break. And after the break, we will be talking to Professor Fergal Malone and we'll be debunking sexual health myths. Talk to you then.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.